Drip Tasha. Greatly proud. Ut Shastravartinaha. Transgressing the regulative principles mentioned in the Shastras. Kalaha. Duration of time. Mahan. A great. Avyatiyaya. Past. Brahmashapam. Accursed by exalted Brahmanas. Upehushaha. Having obtained. So translation. Hiranyakashipu thus passed a long time being very much proud of his opulences and transgressing the laws and regulations mentioned in the authoritative Shastras. He was therefore subjected to a curse by the four Kumaras who were great Brahmanas. You can repeat. Hiranyakashipu thus passed a long time.
Being very much proud
of his opulences and transgressing the laws and regulations mentioned in the authoritative Shastras. He was therefore subjected to a curse by the four Kumaras who were great Brahmanas. So, purport by his divine grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shilpopad. There have been many instances in which demons, after achieving material opulences, have become extremely proud, so much so that they have transgressed the laws and regulations given in the authoritative Shastras. Hiranyakashipu acted in this way, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, in the 16th chapter, text 23, Yokshastra vidimusrija vartate kamakaritaha nasasidim avapnoti nasukam na param gatim. He who discards scriptural injunctions and acts according to his own whims attains neither perfection nor happiness nor the supreme destination. The word shastra refers to that which controls our activities. We cannot violate or transgress the laws and regulative principles mentioned in the Shastras. Bhagavad Gita repeatedly confirms this. Tasmat shastram brahmanam te karya karya vyavastitau gatva shastra vidanoktam karma kartum hi harasi. One should understand what is duty and what is not duty by the regulations of the scriptures. Knowing such rules and regulations, one should act so that he may gradually be elevated. That's from the Gita, 16th chapter, text 24. One should act according to the direction of the Shastras, but the material energy is so powerful that as soon as one becomes materially opulent, he begins to transgress the Shastric laws. As soon as one transgresses the laws of Shastra, he immediately enters upon the path of destruction. So, evam aishvarya matasya driptasyo chastravartinaha kalomahan vyatiyaya rama shapam upeyushaha. So, Omaganat Vidanda Shah, Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshuru Meditam Yena Tasmai Sigurveda Maha. So it's not specifically mentioned here what was the curse given by the four Kumaras, but we can understand when great sages like the Kumaras or great devotees like Narada Muni, of course, the Kumaras are great devotees now. When they curse, it's actually a benediction for the person's being cursed. Why is it a benediction? Because the persons who are cursing are not under the control of anger. In other words, they may get angry, but their anger is simply given to help the person who they're getting angry with. It's not given or expressed for the point of giving them allowing them to have some sort of catharsis. This word catharsis, it means like you explode and then you feel good later on about it. Because the anger within this material world comes through frustration because one's desires or control or something like that is not satisfied. Many times you see the people who are driving a car and someone cuts them off and they get angry at them. Why? Not because basically they were lusting after something, because they wanted to have control and because things were not in their control. I mean, that's actually even a bigger one than not having the objects of your lust fulfilled. Just like not being in control. Because you want to control different things. I mean, obviously, you want to have some autonomy in life, control things in life. And things just don't happen the way we planned. Something can go wrong, it goes wrong. And so, therefore, we generally get angry because we think we're the controller and we find out we're not the controller. We think we're the enjoyer, we find out we're not the enjoyer. I mean, we get angry at so many things, not only that car example I just gave. You know, we get angry when we find gray hair in our head or no hair in the head. Isn't it? There's so many things we get angry with. If our computer just boots itself up or doesn't boot up. Or we get a virus in the computer or something breaks down. I mean, there's so many reasons why we get angry. But the sages, when they get angry, like when Prabhupada would chastise a disciple, chastise the impersonalist, it was simply out of compassion. And it was actually done according to Krishna's description of the austerity of speech in the Gita. Satcha priyahitam. In other words, everything a devotee does, at least a pure devotee, we're not talking about neophytes, but everything a pure devotee does is for the benefit, it's pleasing ultimately. Of course, in the meantime, it may not be pleasing. Satcha priyahitam, and it's truthful. He doesn't deviate from those standards. So that means he has control. Vacha vegam, manasagrota vegam, jiva vegam, udra pasha vegam. He's controlling all these different pushings. So this question of being cursed by the four kumaras, it's a common theme that runs through many of the Vedic literatures, how different living entities get cursed, and then later on they're benefited by that curse. I mean, just like the other day, I was in Sacramento, I was giving a class about the demons in Krishna Leela. And, of course, there's many, many demons in Krishna Leela, but practically speaking, almost every one of the demons had been cursed previously because there was one demon who made fun of the sage Ashtavakra. Ashtavakra, of course, was his body was curved. He was a sage. He was curved in eight places. So this demon, and I forget the demon's name, so he made fun of the sage Ashtavakra, and as a result, he became the Shakatasura, the cart demon. And so he just had a subtle body. Actually, his body was not the cart, even though he's called the cart demon. It's not that he had a body of a cart. Again, people misunderstand that. He's called the cart demon because his subtle body caused the cart to actually rise up and attempt to smash Krishna. And so, anyway, so he was cursed, and as a result, he got killed by Krishna, and he got liberated as a result of that. So many stories there. And that one that most comes to mind is the story of Narada Muni cursing Manigriva Nalakuvara, because it's very much parallel with this particular teaching and story here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because Manigriva and Nalakuvara were sons of Kuvera. In other words, they had a very rich father. Sometimes you see people who have a very rich father who never have to work a day in their lives and never experience poverty. They actually lose or never had good qualities. Prabhupada comments on this in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that someone who has never experienced the pinching of poverty, that's interesting, pinching of poverty, will not really have compassion upon others who are poverty-stricken, because they can't really empathize that much. They've never experienced it. Just like you have in the French Revolution, Marie Antoinette. You've heard of her? Marie Antoinette. So anyway, the French Revolution, Marie Antoinette was informed before the French Revolution that the poor people just didn't have enough bread to eat. So she thought, well, not such a big thing. Let them eat cake. Because they don't eat bread, they can eat cake. So she just had no conception of what it meant to not have something. And so therefore, when you don't have a conception, you tend to be cruel towards other people. Like Hiranyakashipu here is being cruel because he just didn't have the conception. And of course, he was a demon too. And so you see this in many cases, even in modern politicians. I mean, there's one person running for president of the United States, you may not. I'm not going to mention his name because it would be impious in class. I mean, he's basically known as a buffoon. Yet he is actually ahead of the pack, so to speak. That's an interesting word, the pack, the dog pack, you know, whatever. So he's getting more approval. Of course, I hope he won't win the nomination, and I hope he won't win the election. I mean, the rest of the world is actually making fun of America right now. Because of this person who has so much money and he goes around insulting people, you know, he insulted a woman, you know, in the most horrible way when he was having an interview. He insulted, I mean, the immigrants. You know, he said, oh, the people coming from some other country, I'm not going to mention the name of the country, they're just coming to rob and steal. You know, he just goes around insulting everybody, not considering that people are hurt by these things. Right? He doesn't understand that, you know, people are experiencing pain. It's the opposite of paradukkha-dukkhi, opposite of a saintly person. A saintly person, as we mentioned, is paradukkha-dukkhi. He is more concerned with the pains or the pleasures of others than his own pains or pleasures. This is actually a platform of Krishna consciousness. Of course, it's not that for a devotee, it's not that a devotee has to be completely poverty-stricken to have compassion for others. For a devotee, his compassion doesn't come from being poverty-stricken previously, even though he may or may not have been. His compassion comes because yastu sarvani bhutani atmane banapashati sarva bhutesha chatmanam, that he actually sees everyone in connection with Krishna. He sees everyone as his family member, just like a rich person. Even though he may not have compassion for others, he has compassion for his children, usually. Or he has compassion for his family members. So when one sees that everyone is one's family member, then at that particular juncture, then you can have compassion for others, even if you've never experienced poverty yourself. But under normal circumstances, one does have to. Normal means material circumstances. One actually has to experience poverty to understand how much pain someone else is in. Just like I can look at someone, for example, you know, I've been to the dentist sometimes and been a lot of pain in the dentist. So when I see someone go to the dentist, I can be very compassionate with them. You know, I can be, I can talk to them, I feel very sorry for you, you know, I feel your pain because I've been to the dentist. You understand? So anyway, so that's under ordinary circumstances. However, and also another point is that Prabhupada makes in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, is that generally the sages and saintly persons won't really go and mix so much with rich people because they've actually lost or never had good qualities due to having so much wealth. I mean, wealth is very bewildering. When one gains a lot of wealth, one thinks they can get away with any damn thing. Just like, again, this politician we mentioned, he was giving donations to both parties, you know, to get influence from both parties. Of course, especially in India, you can get away with any damn thing if you have a lot of money, because you can bribe. So one actually thinks they can get away with any damn thing. So really, good qualities become lost at that particular juncture. And so the saintly persons won't mix freely with those who have a lot of opulence. Whereas those who are poverty-stricken, the saintly person has no problem dealing with them. And the example of that is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, one particular pastime, in Jagannath Puri. In Jagannath Puri, of course, the great king was named Prataparudra. And Prataparudra was a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would continually refuse to see King Prataparudra because he said, you know, just by taking that position of king, one has spoiled everything. Even though the pot may be filled with nectar, one drop of poison just spoils everything. So Lord Chaitanya continually refused, and actually ultimately he met with him, but it was sort of a trick by which he met with him. He didn't meet with him as the king was in the dress of a king, but he met with him as the king was in the dress of an ordinary Vaishnava. And of course, he was impressed by the king's humility previously when the king took the golden broom and swept the street in front of Lord Jagannath. So that actually impressed him and convinced him to deal with the king. So Lord Chaitanya showed that he was extremely reticent to give his association to someone in a very wealthy position, very powerful position. So what does that mean for us? Of course, we're interested in preaching to all sorts of people. Actually, Prabhupada, when he was preaching, did preach to a lot of wealthy, important people. I mean, like you had George Harrison. You had so many people who were wealthy and important. Of course, the Beatles in general, they were not too strict in following the regulative principles. George Harrison was, to a certain degree. But you see, the Beatles, if you hear the biography of them, they were actually quite loose in their activities. I mean, basically with women, you know, women and wine, intoxication, and all those other things like that. Of course, George Harrison wasn't. And Srila Prabhupada, he was actually disgusted with John Lennon because he was in John Lennon's estate. And basically, you know, when the devotees first hosted Prabhupada, John Lennon offered his estate. And Prabhupada was staying there too. And they gave a house to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada walked through John Lennon's house and he saw pictures of John Lennon and his wife. I know his wife's name, I'm not going to mention it. So, doing various, like, I mean, well, how could you even mention such things in Bhagavatam class? Anyway, pictures of him and his wife naked, engaged in sensual affairs. You know, that's the most neutral way I can express it. So, and Prabhupada was disgusted with such a thing. And he said, you know, basically, after a while, he said, get me out of here. You know, get me out of here. This is, yeah. And then they took Prabhupada out, and as soon as Prabhupada left the estate, of course, the first thing they did, Prabhupada said goodbye to all the trees. It's interesting. Prabhupada went around and said goodbye to all his friends he considered to be the trees and the plants. You know, that shows how a devotee is compassionate to all living entities. But as soon as Prabhupada left, because he was so disgusted, guess what happened? A big storm came through and tore everything down in the whole manor. All the trees and everything were just demolished. because just because Prabhupada was disgusted by the whole thing. I mean, you can actually see a direct correlation. You know, the day after, right, the day after, you know, 2 days after Prabhupada left. Yeah, Big Tree crushed the roof and everything like that. You know, right after Prabhupada left. You know, so, anyway, and you see... What was that? And you see all these, you know, these stars, you know, everything. They engage in so many illicit activities. So, what does that mean for us? I mean, practically, does it mean we should stop preaching to people if they have money or something? And just go to the poorest area of the city and just preach? Well, we do go to the poorest area. We're not interested just like in approaching, like Prabhupada said, we should approach everybody. Not just the people of Prabhupada or the India, they're called the Daridra Narayans. That was another point. Like you have these people who just want to give charity to what they call Daridra Narayan, which is actually a funny expression, which means poor Narayan. But Narayan is never Daridra. He's never poor. Narayan is always rich. And actually, Prabhupada one time said, we're interested in approaching the Daridra Narayans and the Dhani Narayans. That means the rich Narayans. Because everyone is part and parcel of Krishna. Mami Vamsa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana Manasak Stani Indriyani Prakriti Stani Karshati. Everyone is part and parcel of Krishna, so we're interested in approaching everybody. So we do approach rich people, but we have to be very careful not to become contaminated. Like if people give money, you know, they think they can purchase you by that money. So not to become contaminated by that dealing with wealth or wealthy people like that. So Prabhupada would show this example. And also, we have to be very careful not to become contaminated when we come in performing Krishna's service, and we come in contact with, well, Dhanam, Janam, and Sundarim. And these are very dangerous things. One has to be very, very careful. Of course, for the women, that means Sundara. Handsome men. Anyways. Whatever. So, because in Krishna's service, we're meant to engage in the process called Yukta Vairagya. Yukta Vairagya means using things in Krishna's service. And it's an austerity. I mean, it's like I was thinking this morning, boy, I just like to be going around Govardhan with my bead bag, wearing one of these small gumshas that the Babaji's wear. Because basically, dealing with Krishna's energy, even in Krishna's service, gives you a headache. You know, yesterday I came into the temple and they said, well, we got to fix this, you know, leaking in the floor. And then there were people shoveling stones. I was thinking this is like the Yamadutas, you know, but they're doing it for Krishna. So I was thinking, oh my God, all these headaches. This happens, Janmashtami is coming, they have to organize a parking lot over at the school, transporting people to the parking lot. They have to organize insurance, so the people go to the parking lot, they're insured. People come to the temple, they get insured. I said, maybe I could just like shut myself in my room during Janmashtami and chant Hare Krishna, come out for the midnight arti. So, even hearing these things is anxiety. I was thinking, what happened in the old days? Well, we had a nice temple around the campfire, toasting for chorus. We just chanted Hare Krishna, and I cooked the feast. I didn't have to worry about all these other living entities. So, what happened to me before I took disciples? You know, everybody was well behaved because it was just me. But, so in Krishna's service, it was much easier. I just had to worry about myself. Like Bhaktisananda Saraswati Thakur said, when he was asked how many disciples he had, he said, I have 4, 2 arms and 2 legs. And at least they listen. So we have to accept so many things in Krishna's service. And then also as we accept things in Krishna's service, we may start to think we're the controller, we're the proprietor. And we may become enamored with the control or with the ability to manipulate or whatever. Or one may have money under their control or people worship them. This is actually mentioned by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur as one of the sources of anarthas. One of the sources of anarthas is the byproducts of bhakti. And I'm not talking about the ecstasy you feel when chanting Hare Krishna. That's not a source of anartha. But while you do bhakti, you know, people come forward to you. I mean, it's like Gorkha Shordas Babaji Maharaj. Many people came forward to offer him things. But he was so careful about being enamored by anything that people were offered, he would refuse it generally, or at most he would accept their latrine. He said, we want to make a place for you to chant Hare Krishna, Bhajan Kutir. And he said, yeah, give me your latrine. Your latrine is, for those of you who don't know, you know, Americans, latrine means, you know, place for passing stool. So he was very, very cautious. Of course, if we were that cautious, we would not be doing any preaching. You know, that would be it. And we'd be happy, hopefully, but we wouldn't be doing any preaching. So we have to accept these things, but be extremely cautious, understanding, you know, we have to accept praise. You know, people are praising us, you know, especially if one has a position of guru, sannyasi. People are praising you, people are giving you things, giving you gifts. People are happy to see you, whatever. You know, they give you garlands, you come, like Fiji, we go to Fiji and they give us like 100 garlands you can't even see over the garlands. And so, you know, one can become very enamored by that and forget that they're actually Gopi Bharata, Padakamala, Dasa, Dasa, Dasana, Dasa. So one has to continually remind oneself to avoid this particular thing happening is being described about Harani Kashyapu. One has to continually remind oneself that one is a servant. And one has to not only remind oneself, but act in that way to serve, not just one thing. You know, I'm above this right now. I mean, just like yesterday I was seeing the people shoveling the stones. And I was thinking, I'm a sannyasi, I don't have to do that. But no, but actually I said, I was thinking I want to do it, but then it wouldn't be good for my back, you know, because when you get a little older, it's harder to shovel stones anymore. So one has to be ready to serve no matter what one's position is in the Krishna conscious movement, no matter how much respect you're getting, no matter how much money you have. One has to be ready just to get down there in the dirt and you just serve along with everybody else. And then you feel ecstasy, just like there was one appearance day of Srila Prabhupada that I was cleaning a Purva's pots. It was ecstasy. You know, instead of sitting in the temple room having everybody, of course they wouldn't fan me during Prabhupada's appearance day, but, you know, just sitting in some big fat cushion. I was cleaning Purva's pots. And actually that was happiness. Because when you realize yourself as a servant, you become happy. When you think yourself as a master, it's so much anxiety because you have to keep your position up. You know, you just have to keep your profile like up all the time. You know, you have to spend an hour putting on makeup in the morning. Because the people, not really. You know, straighten your dhoti, you know, put your cape on the right way so you look a little romantic. So, but when you realize you're a servant, there's no anxiety. It all belongs to Krishna. Of course, you work very hard. You're using things in Krishna's service, but you're just a servant. Like the chauffeur, he gets to drive the car, but it's not his car. You understand? But when the chauffeur becomes enamored, you know, driving the Lincoln Continental or the Mercedes or whatever he's driving, then he's a thief. And that's it. But when he keeps driving the car only for the master, doesn't take it out after the master goes to sleep to go to the bar at night. Then chauffeurs sometimes do stuff like that. My grandfather used to have a chauffeur. He had a Cadillac, big Cadillac. And then he actually keeps his position. So one has to be very careful. You know, pride comes before the fall. You know, wealth enamors. Janmaishwarya Shubhiras, Queen Kunti says, you know, opulence, good so-called good birth that one's proud of, beauty, material beauty, or intelligence, material intelligence. That actually drags one away from Krishna. One may have those things, but one has to be really cautious, like dealing with a serpent. Like sometimes, when I was young, we used to go to the Serpentarium. Mother Krishna Priya remembers that. In Miami, they have a Serpentarium, you know, where you deal with... In Miami. It's called the Serpentarium. The whole material world is Serpentarium. But anyway... But then, you know, yeah, so they would pick up the snake. But they understood, because if you don't pick up the snake properly, guess what? You get bitten. So dealing with Krishna's energy, you have to be very, very cautious. Anyway, so that's the lesson for us. We don't want to become little Hiranyakashipus in the name of devotional service. That happens. I've seen that happen with devotees. Even big, big people, you know, the bigger you are, the higher you are, the more the harder the fall is, you know. If you're in the basement and you fall out the basement window, no problem. You just like pick yourself up. But if you fall out the first floor, it's a little harder. Second floor, it's harder. And by the time you get to the penthouse, you're finished. So one, especially in the penthouse, you have to be very careful when you go on your balcony. But in the basement, you go on your balcony all the time, jump over the fence. Doesn't matter. Have a good time. All right, so on that happy note, so any questions or comments about these things? Yes.
I'm curious, you were talking about earlier, you mentioned me if I was pure devotee.
Yeah.
And I'm curious if you if are we actually neophytes until we become pure devotee?
No, you're not neophytes until you become pure. There's different stages. It's not all or nothing. A neophyte, of course, is one who sees Krishna in the temple and doesn't see Krishna in every living entity's heart. That's a Kanishtha Adhikari. And then you can become a Majjhima Adhikari. And a Majjhima Adhikari, you can even be a pure devotee, where you're seeing the different, or interacting differently with different classes of living entities. You're worshiping the Lord. You're making friendship with the devotees. You're avoiding the those who are envious. And you're helping the innocent. So, you know, there's different stages between neophyte. But until one becomes an absolutely 100% pure devotee, there's always danger. Prabhupada said, of course, Prabhupada said in regard to the story about Bharat Maharaj, you know, that one has to, he was saying there's caution because Bharat Maharaj was on the stage of bhava. I mean, that's almost pure devotee. I mean, I don't think anyone in this room is on the stage of bhava. Maybe bhava rogue. Bhava rogue means like, you know, getting emotions from the sick things of this world. Rogue means disease, like rogi is a sick person. So we're getting some emotions, just like we see the latest gadget. We feel ecstasy. You know, I look at a picture of a quadcopter and I feel shaking in my body. So that's bhava rogue. But the stage of bhava in devotional service is the preliminary stage right before prema, and still one falls down. Look at Bharat Maharaj. I mean, just like a deer, a little baby deer. He thought himself to be the protector, proprietor of the deer. And that's why he deviated. So, yeah. Yeah, every moment. Every moment one has to be very attentive. There's great danger in this world. Very great danger in this world. So we have to be cautious. Bandhanvi sarvadhanamate. Caution. It's like if you're driving in India, you've got to be very cautious.